When I was a kid, in Hong Kong, they have all these typhoon and everything. When I was a kid, nature is really scary. I don't know whether you've been to Southeast Asia, and yep, good. You've been to Southeast Asia before, and in America they call it hurricanes. Over here they call it cyclone. Over in Northern Queensland, but in Hong Kong they call it typhoon. And when I was a kid, we usually live in a place that the window is not as sealed, as tightly sealed as you guys over here, and you can hear the sound. It's quite scary, and I'm really scared of nature in those days. I don't know whether you guys did that or not. But that's not really actually the scariest things I have in my life when I was a kid. You know what's the scariest things? Tell me, for those who are Asians, are a bit more, understand a bit better. Because I'm really scared when I was a kid was something called a feather duster. If you don't laugh, you don't understand. Because when my parents would usually use that, and they usually put it right in front of the house, where everybody can see, and as a kid, you're really scared. When you look at it and say, oh, I better don't do that. You know what I'm saying? They are used as punishment for the kids, to discipline the kids. But obviously, the feather duster is not the most scary things I have in my life. The scariest things is actually my parents, because they quite frequently discipline me. And obviously, I'm not talking about abuse here. I'm talking about discipline. And as for me, so fear is one of the things that brought me up since I was a kid, and one of the intrinsic character. But unfortunately, the world seems to be losing a little bit of those fear character. I don't know whether they agree or not, okay? And probably because I think that it's because we desensitize a lot of fear. I mean, I used to go to a movie world quite a few times before, not so much in the last few years, or the new one, the Green Lanterns and Superman Rise, etc. But last time I went was The Lethal Weapon was the hardest. And I thought, oh no, I'm not going on that. Oh, swing you around and you're going to vomit, etc. But I thought, well, I'll go and try it once since I'm still young, you thought. So I got on and tried it once. And after that, wow, it's great. I want to do it again. And I went again and etc. And you can't desensitize our fear. We can't, not afraid anymore. And some people actually not fear of death nowadays. They not exactly, they even kind of ignore it, block it off, type of things. You see some of the picture here showing people doing base jumping. You know what's base jumping, right? You go to really high cliff or high building like Empire State Building or places like that, and you just jump off with your parachute. And because parachute takes the time to open up, that means the time is very short before you're ready to open it up and then land safely on the ground. And you see one of this guy here. He's kind of, oh, that's not plenty of time. I won't die. He's kind of like, I'm strong. I'm invincible. I'm a woman. Sorry, no. I'm a man. These kids, people kind of have no fear anymore. They're not fear of death. They're not scared of death at all. I think it's even worse. Actually, it's not only they're not fear of death. Actually, they have no fear of God. The fear of God seems to be disappearing in this world. Even though fear sometimes is bad, you know that fear makes you panic and sometimes you isolate yourself, but actually fear is a good thing. Fear can help you to really get ready and prepare. Okay? The world is really teaching us not to fear, and in some way actually lose a lot of things. And they start losing that they have no fear of parents. You can actually start thinking about kids when they're young. Start thinking about, did the parents do something wrong to me? And they start thinking about suing the parents. So in a way that not really nobody helped them to discipline them. Okay? And now the people live their life is just for today. There's no worry about tomorrow. In the sense that there's a lot of fear of death is not really in the equation of life. Okay? But unfortunately, they still fear of a lot of things. Actually, if you talking to a lot of kids, you find that the fear of peer pressure, how the friends think of them, or us too, think of us, is more important than worry about God or death. Okay? Fear of worrying about wealth. I mean, Australia worry about other people coming in, may take our job. I mean, it's a common thing, so we all fear that. But a lot of times that replace a lot of things that we should be fear of. Okay? Losing money, losing face, losing status is more scary than death, and even the fear of God. In a way, we really lose it. I'm not here, I'm not talking about fear of God and saying, God is scary, God is abusing us. No, no. Fear of God is in realizing that He's an almighty God. That He's in awe, that His creation is amazing. That we need to be aware of Him and reverence Him. That He's in a sense, fearful. And the Bible talks about that a lot. Talks about fear of God a lot. Actually, fear of God is one of the character of being a leader. Well, I bring it here in the passage, right, in Exodus chapter 18, 21. This is right where we are when Moses starts finding the job too big to leading all these Israelites. He's saying, and then his father not telling him that, hey, you can't do it all by yourself, you need to find other leaders to help you. And what is the criteria that he tells Moses? He's saying, the criteria is saying that, well, in 21 he said, but select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And further on in Psalm, even saying that, well, kings, queens, beware. You need to fear God in order to serve well. If you don't fear God, you're missing out one of the most important part of leadership character. So fear of God is important if you want to be a leader. And I believe that God called all of us to be a leader in different situations, different occasions. Where a leader, what I'm saying is one who make difficult or hard decisions. And that decisions can affect yourself, your life, as well as others, and even impact the whole world. And sometimes we don't know it. And we need to be aware so that we learn how to prepare ourselves so that when time comes, we'll be able to make those hard decisions and we'll be able to affect others in a good way, in a way that God wants them. And today I want to look into from the Bible. I know time is kind of ticking on quite quickly. I want to look into the Bible from Exodus, the first two chapters of Exodus. Okay, I won't go into reading it, but I want to highlight five women leaders who did amazing things. I mean, most men think that I'm a leader. Well, most men, you think. We all are head of the house, but it's the woman who's the neck. And apparently the Bible says a lot of things about women doing better in leadership, and we need to learn from them. Okay? And here, five women, okay, I'm talking about, who are leader making hard decisions, and those decisions help to fulfill God's plan. The first two persons, which is come from, I will tell you a little bit of the story afterward. I won't read the whole passage because we probably not enough time to do that. But let me just highlight the name first. Okay, the first two persons are midwives. Okay, person who help deliver babies. Okay, they are Shifra and Pua. They are Egyptians. Okay, they're Egyptian midwives, which come from Exodus chapter 1. Okay. Okay. You scare me. Okay. Next one. Okay. So the first two ladies are Zipra and Puah. Okay. Next one is Joseph. Josephette. Okay. You probably never heard of this name before. Actually, when you read the Bible in Exodus 2, talk about Moses' parents. It didn't mention their names. But you can find out from other part of Exodus or a number, etc., to find out the names of Moses' parents. The mother's name is Josephette. And obviously, you've probably heard of Miriam. Okay? Miriam, which is the sister of Moses. And then, finally, the Pharaoh's daughter. Obviously, she's another Egyptian, while the other two, I think, is Hebrew. The mother and the sister. And obviously, the father should be in there too, but I highlight the five women. Okay, let me just give you a little bit of the story. But before I go, let's have a bow and pray and ask God to help us to understand what He wants us to learn from the Bible. Lord, we just want to thank You for this time. Beautiful day, and we can see how great the universe is. And because You created it, we're in awe or wonder how great a God You are. So help us to understand that how we can fear You, in revere of You, in knowing that You are our God. And in doing things while we're making decisions, we be reminded of who You are, and we will make the right decision. So teach us through the Bible how we should be a good leader for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the story I want to mention to you is from Exodus chapter 1 to up to Exodus chapter 2 verses 8. It's a little bit long. Let me give you a little bit outline of the story. So again, remember I'm talking about those five women here. Okay? And you sort of think about how they did things. So first of all, well, let me just go straight in. I won't read the passage because the time is probably a little bit short for that. Let's just go straight into the first two women. Okay? The first two is Sarah and Puah. I hope I pronounced the name right. Those two are the midwives. Well, the story got come from a little bit earlier. You probably all heard of the Abraham brought all the kids to come to Egypt because Joseph is become the head of the country, and because there's famine, eventually brought the whole family come to Egypt. Okay, and then a new king, a new pharaoh, come to town. Okay, when a new king come, obviously do everything differently, just like changing the parliament, changing of the party in the government. They change everything. Well, this king realized that all these Hebrew, they really had multiplied really quickly. And there are really a lot of them. They become so many of them, they become fearful of them. Okay? Because they have enemy around Egypt. And if the enemy aligned with the Hebrews, they will have enemy outside and enemy inside. That would be scary, wouldn't it? So as a pharaoh, they thought, I need to find a way to stop them, so that I can prevent if there's any attack. And one way to do that is stop the population of growing. Okay? So they have plan A to come in. What the plan A is, well, give them hard labor, work them, slave them, so they have no time to make babies. So that's the best way. I mean, most of the CEO in company does that. So work them hard, get them so that they have no time, and then there will be population drop down and we'll be peaceful. But amazing thingly, God multiplied them continuously, and they keep increasing. So the Pharaoh thought, what should I do? Well, plan B. Always a plan B. Remember, if you're a leader, always a plan B. Plan B, what he does is, told the two midwives, which is the two ladies here, obviously they are not just ordinary midwives, they're probably the head of midwives who in charge of all the midwives for the whole Egyptians. Okay? They tell them that if they are born a baby in the Hebrew family, I mean, only a part of Hebrew, okay, if they're born in the Hebrew family, a boy, kill them. Once you kill all the boys, so hopefully poor man. Man is always problems. You know. Anyway, to kill them, and then the population drop. Plan B sounds great, right? If they drop, we don't need to worry about enemy. But guess what? The Bible in chapter 1 of Exodus, if you've got your Bible with you, just turn to it. Chapter 1 of Exodus, it said, all this means why? Even though they are under the authority of Pharaoh, they said they fear God and did not do exactly what the Pharaoh told them to do. They fear God and did not do exactly what the Pharaoh told them to do. And when the Pharaoh called them, why didn't you do that? The midwife gave, well, maybe an excuse, saying that, oh, you don't know, all these Hebrew women, they're incredible. By the time I got their baby is born, I'm too late to kill them. I don't know, maybe that's an excuse. Maybe they really intentionally slow down in getting to it. We don't know. I don't think God help us to make excuse or lie. But in some way, that God's plans carry on. The boys carry on living, and they multiply. So the Pharaoh say, look at that. Again, there are more and more. And even the midwife family got rewarded. They have their own family. The Pharaoh say, well, plan A doesn't work. Plan B doesn't work, what should I do? Plan C. So the plan C is, well, midwife doesn't work with us, we got the whole country work for us. Anybody who sees that there's a boy being born in a family, we'll chuck them into the river now, the biggest river around. Okay? If they all chuck in the river now, they will drown, they will die, they will be gone. No more boys, only girls to slave, to be slaved by us. I mean, that's the plan. Why? That's why one of the reasons why they didn't kill all the girls, maybe. That so that the women can be slaves, while the men will be dead. Well, here comes the parents. Well, so this is the two midwives. They didn't do that. They fear God, and God has been kind to the midwife. Here comes the mother, Jochebed. Okay. Well, obviously they have enemies everywhere because they don't live by themselves. They live with other Egyptians. But they have this boy, baby boy, Moses, was born. Well, at that time, he wasn't called Moses. This boy is born. So the parents realized that, or in the Bible, it said, he saw he was good. It was beautiful. In other place, in other Acts and in Hebrew, talks about, he's saying, this is no ordinary child. No ordinary child. So the parents thought, look at that. This boy is beautiful. I can't do that. And maybe they thought, hey, God promised Abraham, saying, after 400 years, I will take your people out of Egypt and take them to the promised land. Maybe they thought that. But somehow, they realized that they need to do something. They're brave enough to do something. And they hide the baby for 3 months. For 3 months. You know how difficult it is to hide a baby for 3 months? You know, I'm sure Craig Johnson can tell you exactly what it meant. Well, they hide it for 3 months. The mother hide it for 3 months. And after that, what they did is use a basket. Because they need to follow the order from the Pharaoh. They use a basket. And basket, make tar around it so it become watertight. Put the baby in and let it into the river of Nile. And accidentally, if you look at the word of Hebrew word, basket, it's the same word as ark. Ark of covenant, or the ark that Noah built, brings salvation to the baby. Well, that's what the mother did. They're brave enough not to kill the baby. And eventually, they can't do anything, they have to let go. But amazingly, the sister, Miriam, is brave enough, even intentionally, being a leader, stand out and come and follow the baby around the river. I mean, obviously, this will be against the law, won't it? Because if the Pharaoh wants to kill a baby in the river, you shouldn't have people sort of keep an eye on it. But Miriam managed to follow the baby, okay? And the baby flow. And somehow, we don't know, coincidence, God incident, the Pharaoh's daughter have a bath in the river now. Maybe this is one of those ritual baths. I mean, you've seen that in India, people do ritual baths in the Ganges River. Okay, maybe she had bath at home, but only once in a while they go to the river, I think. Okay, well, anyway, the Pharaoh's daughter went to her bath, and Miriam following the baby and so somehow flow it into their way. And the Pharaoh's daughter asked one of the slave girls to break it up, bring the basket over. And guess what he said in Exodus chapter 2? The Pharaoh's daughter saw it. And he said, look at this, this is a baby. And it's a Hebrew baby. They recognized it's a Hebrew baby. But she was feel sad about it. Because she saw that there's a baby that need help. So let me read to you from chapter 2 verse 6. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. And she said, this is one of the Hebrew baby, she said. Obviously, this Pharaoh's daughter would know Pharaoh's request, wouldn't it? I mean, the father's request. But she also knows this is a Hebrew baby, and she's brave enough to take her. And then finally, the result come out, you all know, that she took Moses as one of her sons. And Miriam came out and said, well, you are just a young lady, you can't give milk to the baby, won't you? But I know someone. Who do you think that one is? Obviously, her mother. So it ends up, the mother feeding the baby, feeding Moses, being paid by Pharaoh, and eventually when Moses went back to older, to become study in the Pharaoh's court. So there's a five story about those five women. It's an amazing story. Those women are going through difficult things. Okay, what we can learn is saying that through this story, you learn that a leader, a true leader, who make decisions, who can affect their life and others, are the one who know what is the fear of God, and you also have compassion. Well, first of all, you look at it, the two midwives definitely say in Exodus chapter 1, right here, in chapter 1:17, is that the midwife, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. You think it's just one line he mentioned all this? But think about it. The struggles she may have. I used to work in the government when I was back in Hong Kong. And we need to transfer to a different job once in a while. The government tends to do that so that you don't stick with the same people. And I got transferred to a really unreasonable boss. And for a long while, at that time working, and I thought, wow, this is tough. I want to quit. I did. I really want to quit. Because it's really unreasonable. Everything you do seems to be somebody watching you, bugging you, picking on you. Whatever you do, this seems like unreasonable. That thing that you think is right, he says wrong. You think it's wrong, he says right. Think about how you work in those situations. That's like what the midwife was thinking. The Pharaoh wants them to do things that he can't do. And God told me in that time that you need to stick with it. Learn about God's timing and be patient. And guess what? Within a year, less than a year, somehow he make a mistake and God transferred him to another department. Oh, freedom! No, sir. But you think of the midwife to make those decisions, you think it's easy? He's not only a boss, he's the Pharaoh, the king of the country. He can do whatever he wants to you. He can even kill you right there in front of his eye. But what they did, they feared God more than he did. And she kept the boys alive. And she had compassion. Look, how can you kill a baby? I don't know how anybody can kill a baby. It's even more so when you look at others, or we talk about, when you look at the mother looking at the baby, he's saying that it's beautiful. I mean, most people think that, commentators saying, oh, he's probably thinking God is going to bring salvation to Hebrew, so I need to preserve them. He's saying the good. But look at the word good, actually. When you talk about good related to God, where would you think of? Which part of the Bible would you think of? I would think of Genesis chapter 1. When God created the world, it's good. Day 1 is good. Day 2 is good. Day 3 is good. Up to create the man is good. And you look at the baby. It's God's creation. It's good. It's beautiful. You can't make the baby as wonderful it is. We can't. We can only have babies. But we can't make a baby so wonderful. And it's good. And how can you kill a baby? And in compassion, that's what I think they are. Looking at it, this is my baby. And it's God's creation. You are in awe of what God had created in front of you. And you can't kill it. You have to defy because this is right to do it. And that's why God gave them a compassion that gives them the fear not to do what they do. And Miriam, she really stand up as a leader to really approach the Pharaoh's daughter. Otherwise, Moses may not be able to understand who he is, that he's one of the Hebrew. And the Pharaoh's daughter, again, here when we read chapter 2, verse 6, she felt sorry for the baby. Again, the compassion that drive her, even though the father saying that, no, you need to kill all the Hebrew boys, that compassion prevent her from doing the wrong things because it's a human life. It's human's life. How can you do anything like that? So, we can see that if you want to be a leader, you need to really learn how to fear God and to have compassion. And fear, and also leading by not fearing of man. Well, in talking about the parents of Moses, in other part of the Bible, in Hebrew, actually mentioned about Moses' life too, a little bit. In Hebrew chapter 11, verses 23, it said right here, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Even the king demanded, they didn't follow, because they know that God's authority is higher. They know that God had commandment not to kill humans' life, which is right. Do we follow the world's way, or do we follow God's way? A lot of time we look at situation come in, you probably think, oh, people may not like what I'm doing, and then you won't stop, you will just follow the world. But those guys, instead of following what the world, everybody's doing it, they know that this is not right because of what God said, and they're not afraid of man. They're not afraid of man because they're afraid of God. Because they're afraid of God. So, in learning all this, we know that to be a leader, we need to really fear God and not fear of man. How about us? If we are given in that situation, if you are the midwife, what will you do? If you are the Pharaoh's daughter, what will you do? If the government gives an order to do certain law that you need to follow, and you know that it's wrong against God's will, what will you do? This question is not asked only today. It's asked during the Second World War too. And you need to prepare, because when time comes, you've been asked those questions. If you haven't learned to be fear of God, you will not do as what the midwives do. You will not do as what the Pharaoh's daughter do. You will just give in, and just hopefully nobody knows who you are. So we all need to be prepared to learn how to fear God. And the story has an end, because I want to bring you closer to the time. Exodus, long time ago, 2,000-3,000 years ago. In the Second World War, let me go back to talk a little bit about the reward first. We all know the reward, that God rewards in abundance. Remember, the midwife get the family themselves, and also the Hebrew multiply. They all got working amazing things. Okay, and funny things about all this is everything is kind of irony. God wants to suppress the population of Hebrew, and turn out they just keep multiplying, just breathing like rabbits in a way sense. Okay, so what Pharaoh wants is exceedingly worse, and it turned out Moses going to be educated in the Pharaoh's court to be wise, which is probably not what they want, and eventually to be the savior to bring salvation to the Hebrews. Isn't it irony, in a way? You know what I'm saying? Well, the even amazing thing is, God's salvation plan is fulfilled. At the end, when we look at it, look back in it, God is in control. God is in control. Because all these things that are trying to stop them, actually help God to make the salvation plan fulfilled. Eventually, Moses is the one who brings salvation to the Hebrew people to bring them to the promised land. So God can work funny things in our life. And in Colossians 3:22-25, it says, "Slave, obey your earthly master in everything and do it. Not only when their eyes is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the law." Reverence for the law. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the law, not for man, since you know that you'll be receiving inheritance from the law as a reward. It is the Lord's Christ you're serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. We'll be rewarded according to how we make the decisions. And the reward is going to be great. But the reward may not come right there. Because Hebrews, when Moses' parents probably don't even know what Moses turned out eventually be. But the reward come afterward, after they die. Same applies to us. When we look only now, we missed it. But we think that long term, God actually will reward it to us. And like I said earlier on, I want to bring you a little bit closer. The things happen not only apply to Hebrew time in Exodus. In Second World War, as you know, Nazi Germany was conquering everywhere, and they were rising into Holland. You probably have heard of Corinne Ten Boom, have you? She wrote a book, Hiding Place, which became a movie, and she was one of the Dutch Christians. At that time, a lot of Jews start fleeing Germany. And they initially start taking in Jews to hide them in the top room of the house. And finally, some informer from outside tell others, and they got caught. And the father died in prisons, and the sister died in concentration camp, and she survived to tell the tales. She went through all this suffering, but the family stayed on, willing to help the Jews. Even in time, Germans was making sure that they want to catch everyone who hide the Jews. But they did that. They can make decisions even in difficult times, and that decision saved a lot of Jews. But this is not the final story I want to tell you. There's another guy you probably never heard of. His name is Chiuni Yukiko, and Yukiko is the wife, Fujihara. You probably haven't heard of this. Chiuni is the diplomat in Lithuania, one of the countries between Poland and Russia. In those days, in 1940, they were the diplomat over there for Japan, because they come from Japan. What happened is when the German took over Stalin invading Poland in 1940, all the Jews start thinking about getting out. But they can't get out. The only way they can get out is through Russia. They know the diplomat of Russia. They say, I can give you visa to go through because there's another little country in the Caribbean which belongs to Dutch that they can get to because they don't need a visa. But what happened is they need to go to Russia to go to Japan. The Russia won't give them visa unless Japan gives them visa. And this guy is right there as a diplomat. And the day when Poland was conquered, was captured, all these Jews lined up in the office, want to get a visa. What he did, he sent a fax back to Japan saying that, what should I do? Should I give them visa? Because they are desperate. He sent it 3 times and all 3 times were rejected. Eventually he said, no, I need to reject my government. And he started issuing 2,000 visa for the Jews. And eventually all the Jews went to Siberia and then Japan. He went to Shanghai and finally left to other countries. And through that 2,000 visa, today, roughly almost about 500,000 people will benefit from him. And guess what? He knows that his decision is terrible because he knows that he's going to be persecuted by his own government. He's going to lose all his job. And that's exactly what happened. He loses his job. When he gets back to Japan, he becomes so poor, he can't even afford his family. And he didn't even know being awarded until 50 years later. Only a few years before he died. And now they have memorial in Israel, so in Japan. When people ask him, why? Why do you do that? Because why do you risk your family? Why do you risk your career? Why do you risk everything? Become such a poor person afterward. He said, I saw these people lining up. And they are all human. They need salvation. They need someone to save them. And one last thing that he said, right here he said, I may have to disobey my government, but if I don't, I will be disobeying God. We will be given tough decisions to make in life. Do you fear God or do you fear your peers or your wealth? Does your fear of God motivate you to know Him better so that you're ready to make those tough decisions when time comes? Do you want to be that influential leader that brings salvation to others, that can affect their life and even impact the whole world? Beginning of last month, in July 7, 2012, we're at King's Cross. There's a guy called Thomas Kelly walking around the street with his friend. And suddenly, somebody just hit him on the head. And he died a couple of days later. The guy who took his life, a teenager himself, just a random vicious attack for no reason. You can blame it saying that it's drug causing all this problem. Alcohol, drug. I think what? I don't think so. I think the biggest problem is there's no fear of God. People nowadays don't fear God, don't fear death anymore. And the only way that they need to know is through us. We need to make the decisions. Do we help them? They are worse than those Jews. They're worse than those Jews in Lithuania when they were lying for visa. Why? Because those kids don't even know they need God. Don't even know the existence of God. And only through us that we can bring that. Jesus in Matthew 9:36 said, when he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. When you look at your friends, when you look at around the world, do you realize that they don't fear God? Do you realize that they don't even know they need salvation? Will you be the leader to make that decision? To do something to help them? Because like what Sujihara said, I saw them. They're human. They need help. And if I don't do anything, even though I need to disobey my government, I would not like to disobey God when I see Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this story that we can learn. You have an important part to play. You call us to be leader in this world, to bring salvation to others. And sometimes hard because of peer pressure, because we worry of other things. Our worldly possession occupies us. So Lord, help us to clear of those, because we have the compassion that's from Christ. We have the fear that's of you. So help us to make the right decision, so that when time comes, we will make the decision. We will do something so that other people will have the salvation that's from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.